Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out to children's church? If Maya and Jill, feel free. They got some good stuff going on. I got to see a little preview last night. So, again, I sort of wish I was out there in a way. Alrighty. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your presence, Emmanuel, God with us. And may your presence just speak to us this morning and every day. Amen. So we find ourselves in the third Sunday of Advent. God, once again, putting the pieces into place for the coming of Jesus. He has notified Zechariah in a dream, and Elizabeth is now pregnant. So John the Baptist is ready to be born. He's got Mary moved into place, has let her know that she has been selected to bear this child, who is fathered by the Holy Spirit, and she has accepted. She is following in faith. Today, then, he picks Joseph to be Jesus' stepfather, to raise him, to show him what it's like to be human. What an incredible responsibility. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph. He's mentioned in this reading today and about three or four other brief passages. A couple others are where he has dreams once again from an angel and he hears from God. And then later on, it's mentioned that he's a carpenter, etc. But very little to go on. But what we do have speaks highly of him and tells us a lot about him and his character. He's a carpenter, common man, nothing fancy, but he's going to be father to a king. Carpenter in the Greek here, the word would mean could work with wood, stone, or metal. So maybe he's a mason, maybe he's a metal worker, maybe he does all three. And probably. Maybe mostly wood, but a little bit with stone and metal as well. Sort of a handyman. Scripture also tells us that he would have four other sons and also some daughters. So he's a family man for sure. And he's got, what, at least five boys to raise, and then plus we don't know how many daughters. And five boys be a handful, okay? I'm sure. Except for Jesus. He always did the right thing. I mean, talk about making parenting easy if you're raising Jesus. And for the younger brothers and sisters, as I've observed before, you can imagine their parents saying, "Why can't you be more like your older brother?" Yeah, we can't be perfect, right? But yeah, the expectations were set pretty high for them as well. Unless, you know, they were from another wife and were older. Some, like the Catholics, claim that Mary remained a virgin for her whole life, and that Joseph had been married before and had these other kids by another woman who had died, etc. But we don't know that for sure. So anyway, he's a descendant of David. Has to be. It's prophesied that the Messiah would come from the lineage of David. So God gets to pick who's going to be the father, the stepfather, if you will. And it has to be from the house of David. So that narrows it down right away. But we still got thousands of candidates. And God picks Joseph. Being he was chosen by God, that says a lot about him. Again, so many other guys that could have been picked for this role. But it was Joseph. Now, if I had to choose someone to raise my kids, wow. The standards would be pretty high, I'll guarantee you. It would have to be a man of faith, for sure. If I knew I was not going to be in the scene and I had to pick someone to raise my kids from when they were little, it would definitely have to be a man of faith. It would have to be someone who's very responsible, who has good moral character and is going to raise my kids in the right way. He's going to teach them right from wrong. He's going to take them hunting, teach them how to change a tire, how to change oil, things like that. But again, he's going to have character and integrity because I want my kids to be raised that way. There's no doubt about it. Now, I never had to pick someone to raise my kids, but again, if you had to, and that's what God did. He picked Joseph for this role. A father sets an example in many ways. For those of you who had good fathers, they set an incredible example. And you think, well, how can I fill those shoes, huh? And some of you didn't have good fathers. But we have God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, who is perfect. And his traits and his characteristics show us how to be a good father. Even if you didn't have a good father, we can see how to be a good one. Because God and Jesus set an example as well. A father teaches hard work, teaches kids to respect others, helps them grow in their faith, all these things. Well, it's tough enough for a regular dad, but for a stepdad to step in and do this, that's tougher yet, especially depending on the age of the kids at that time when the stepdad fills that role. And this is what Joseph is doing. He's not the biological father. He's a stepdad, or you could think of him as an adoptive father as well. I've never been a stepdad, but I did interview four of them in preparing for the sermon. And they shared some things with me. And they shared that it can be a tough job. It can be a challenge at times. You know, you're stepping in and you got to somehow get the respect of these kids and have them follow you willingly to love you, to respect you. Now, you could step in and say, you're going to do as I say. That would not be perhaps the best way to do it. But to earn their respect, to show them love, but to be firm but fair, I guess, to draw the line here. These behaviors are acceptable. These aren't. I know I'm not your dad. I'm just sort of stepping in. But I'm going to be your dad. Because there's another dad out there somewhere, too. And sometimes, you know, they have shared custody type thing. Boy, that's a balancing act. And some of the stepdads I talked to said, yeah, you got to respect the opinions of that other person, even if you don't agree with them. Because they're playing a role in the lives of these children as well. Now, Joseph didn't have to deal with that, okay? Well, of course, the Holy Spirit is present, you know. But not in that way like some do today and have throughout history. That would be tough, especially if the other one has, you know, some different beliefs and opinions and views on things. You have to somehow respect that. And ideally, the two dads would cooperate rather than compete. Ideally, they both want what's best for the kids, and they're going to work together to instill those values and to raise them right. But, you know, I salute stepdads out there. That's a tough one, for sure. Also, when the stepdad steps in, the other dad has either died or else there's been a breakup, so the kids have suffered loss. So these kids have emotional, you know, and spiritual damage as well, perhaps. And they're trying to deal with the loss of their family, the intactness of their family, or else the physical loss of a dad if he had died. So again, to try to step into that makes it tough, especially if the kids are a little bit older when they've had more time with the other dad. Another stepdad said not to badmouth the other dad. Yeah, that's another consideration there as well. So Joseph he's a stepdad, but he's also an adoptive father. That I can identify with, okay? Been there, done that, or I am doing that, okay, as an adoptive father. And how do you do that? I would say you love them as your own, because they are. I see no difference between our adopted daughter and our boys. They're ours. We've been tasked with this responsibility. We've accepted it. And we're going to do the best we can So again, we don't know a whole lot about Joseph, but just the fact that he was selected to do this speaks volumes about him, and that God himself selected him. Okay, there's also stepmoms out there and doing a wonderful job, and single moms, well, hats off to them, trying to fulfill both roles, you know, the mom and the dad, but ideally you got both, the loving, nurturing mom and the providing, protecting dad who's going to guide them. Ideally, it works that way. So Joseph has this role of raising Jesus and teaching him what it's like to be a human. Now, Jesus has been around since forever. There is no beginning. He was there at the beginning. He has no beginning and no end. He is God. But he had seen what humans are doing, but not really experienced it. I suppose, you know, we can look at some lower life form and see like a colony of ants or something like that. We can see what they're doing, but do we know what it's like to be an ant? No. God came down to become a human so that he could identify with us and know what it's like to be tempted. Know what it's like to experience joy and sadness and sorrow and all the human emotions. And Joseph then, to teach him what it's like to be a human and to be a good human. What a responsibility to raise up Jesus himself. And Joseph had to be asking himself, am I worthy? Am I worthy of this job? Now, did he sign up for this? Yes and no. Okay, he's selected by God, but he has a choice in matters as well. He finds out that Mary's pregnant, and because Joseph, her husband, and he's called husband because they're in this engagement stage where they are husband and wife, but they got this year of engagement where they're sort of living apart. They're coming together, of course, you know, and spending time together, getting to know each other at times, looking forward to it, I'm sure. But they're not having relations, if you will, yet. They have a year yet for that. So he finds out she's pregnant in the midst of this. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, he wanted to do what was right. A faithful man. Again, that says a lot about him. But yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He's got a balancing act here. He's got to do what's right, but he has to somehow show respect to her. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Alrighty. Now, he could have her stoned. And if he's going to be faithful to the law, that is definitely an option. You go back to Deuteronomy, an unfaithful woman will be stoned. He could demand that. He could just abandon her and walk away and leave her with the stigma of being a single mom who is unmarried. He did not. He wanted to do what's right, but he wanted to care for her as well. How does he do that? And in his mind then, I will divorce her quietly. Not going to make a spectacle. I'm going to be considerate, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be faithful, but considerate. Again, that says a lot about Joseph. We don't know a lot about him, but these things say a lot. He wants to do what's right, but he wants to be considerate to her. So he set out to do that. He made up his mind, okay, God, this is it. I can still be faithful to you, and I can be considerate to her by dismissing her quietly, divorcing her quietly. But then everything changed when he heard from God. And that's us too. You know, you hear from God, everything changes. Joseph was a man who heard from God in dreams at least three times in Scripture. Well, three times in Scripture, maybe more than that. It wasn't recorded, we don't know, but three times for sure. Leading up to this, Zechariah and Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel, physically visited. With Joseph's case, an angel, we don't know which angel, but an angel appears to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe Mary had tried to convince him of this. They say, hey, I wasn't with the guy, honestly, I wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit. Because she had been told by the angel Gabriel that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. Did Joseph believe that, if he had been told? Well, his human mind certainly is not going to, all right? He says, there's got to be a guy in the picture here somewhere, and it's not me. I know I haven't been with you. But when he gets this dream, it confirms it for sure. Hearing from God, hearing from an angel in a dream. And not just a normal dream, and maybe not just a crazy dream. People have many times have crazy dreams. Things just don't make sense, okay? Your brain is entertaining itself while you sleep and it can concoct all kinds of things. But this is from God. This is a special kind of dream. There is no doubt about it. And here he is told that the Father of the child is the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You would be the Messiah. This Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for throughout history. And now Joseph finds out that he is going to be the father, if you will, of this child. Furthermore, the name is given. Same way as Zechariah, the angel Gabriel said, you will call him John. And here, Joseph is told, you will give him the name Jesus. The Lord is our salvation. The translation of that. The Lord saves. Okay, well, again, all this had to happen because it had been prophesied. That's what follows next. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Again, the prophecies that had to be from the house of David, okay, Joseph fulfills that. That had to be born of a virgin, Mary fulfills that. Had to come from Nazareth, that's been fulfilled. That had to be born in Bethlehem, that's been fulfilled. That it will be called out of Egypt, that will be fulfilled. All these things, all these prophecies are going to come true here. There's no doubt about it. So then Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. And took Mary home as his wife. He followed through on it. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Again, he could have walked away. Life might have been a whole lot easier if he had. She is going to be looked down upon by people for being pregnant before being married. But he's going to share that with her. He's going to share that stigma. He's going to take part of that burden off of her and share it. Wow, what a guy. So he's one that trusted the Lord. Like Mary, he followed in faith. Okay, things that just seemed unrealistic, impossible, but yet he trusted in God and followed in faith. The Emmanuel part we get from what Isaiah had prophesied to Ahaz. We're going to visit that quickly here. Ahaz was not a good king, but he received this prophecy about Emmanuel. It's part wrapped in another prophecy, too, when you dig into it. There's two prophecies going on. The one that current to that time, one that would come 700-some years later with the birth of Jesus. But Ahaz was one of these Old Testament kings that did not honor God. He was just plain evil. He was offering sacrifices in the high places to other gods, even sacrificed one of his sons. Wow. I can't imagine. And what happened here at the beginning of what Kelly read, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, so he's hearing from the Lord. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. Wow, he gets to ask God for a sign. That's pretty cool. What would we ask for? God, if this is true, you know, confirm it by, say, giving me $1 million or something like that. I don't know. There's all kinds of signs we could ask for, all kinds of things maybe that benefit self because we tend to be selfish humans. But to ask God for a sign, you got to be pretty brave to do that. And here he's instructed by God to ask for a sign. Wow. What does he ask for? Well, as we heard, Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. That's, on the surface, pretty impressive. Being able to ask for any sign he wants, but say, no, God, I trust you. I don't need a sign. Because I'm not going to put you to the test. And coming from Ahaz, wow, this guy that doesn't respect God and is leading people astray. It's bad enough that he doesn't respect God, that he does not see the right thing or do the right things, but he's leading his whole kingdom down the wrong path, leading others astray. This is huge. This is big time sin, okay? Jesus later on would say it's better that, to lead any of my kids, and that would be us astray, better to have a millstone hung around your neck and be tossed into the depths of the sea. And here he's leading the whole kingdom astray. So when God says you can ask for a sign, he says, I will not, is he then telling God no? Is he doing it for what reason? Because he trusts God? Or because he's being stubborn and rebellious and not following? God asked him to do something and he's not doing it. We could take it either way there, and perhaps the latter, because of his history. But Isaiah, this prophet then, again, that God spoke through Isaiah, a big book of prophecy, Isaiah, good stuff, read it. I'm sure you already have, but read it again, okay? And Isaiah, hear now, you house of David. We're talking to the descendants of David, the house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Ooh. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel. 700 years later, it's going to happen. The virgin will give birth. They'll call him Emmanuel. Revealed to Ahaz of all people. I know God has his purposes. You would expect some good king, maybe. Josiah, David, something like that. But to Ahaz, who is right down there with Ahab, ufta. But God's got his plans. He's got his purposes. And he says, this will be Emmanuel, God with us. And that's pretty neat. Okay, Jesus did come and he spent time among his people. 30-some years, about three of those in the ministry. Leading, guiding, correcting, teaching, forgiving, doing all these things. Eventually dying so that we could live. Giving himself for us. To wash away our sins, to make us worthy to stand before God. Wow. But when Jesus left that scene, he tells us in John that, I'm not going to leave you alone. It's better that I go. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. And as believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. For we who are believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that is God with us as well. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us, guiding us, correcting us, directing us, leading us. In a way, it's sort of like your conscience, but it's so much more. Showing us right from wrong. The Holy Spirit making his dwelling within us. That's incredible. So yes, God is with us in more ways than one. He's all around us right now. He is with us. And he's also within us. And a personal God. One that wants a relationship with us. One that wants to be with us and will be with us forever. Because we look forward to that kingdom that's coming when it is established on earth and he'll be with us forever. And that's what's prophesied in the psalm today. Psalm 110, this is a psalm of David, where the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This is a prophecy of Messiah. The Lord says to my Lord, the God the Father saying to Jesus, sit at my right hand, the place of honor, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Everything is under you. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. His mighty scepter, there's no ignoring that. When Jesus comes again, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, some willingly and with praise, that's us, and others not willingly, but they will bow before him and proclaim he is God. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb, fresh every day. But we are a part of those troops right now. We are in battle. There's spiritual warfare happening around us and within us. And we are to stand firm. We are to bring God's presence. We are to make a difference in this world, each and every one of us. We are warriors on his behalf. This world, not everybody's a believer. But we are. And we are to do what is right. We are to represent him faithfully. And we are to bring this gospel to others. To stand for what is right, but to do it in a loving way, that's the challenge. The military side of me just starts to rise up there going, yes, 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 be a warrior. But not in that sense. to be loving, to be caring, to do what is right. It's a different kind of warfare for sure. There's times, of course, where it is going to get physical, and that happens. There's physical warfare. Evil must be stopped. But when we can reach people in a loving way, when we can be soldiers for Christ in that way, it's an incredible opportunity, an incredible responsibility we have. So Jesus' reign is coming. It's going to be incredible. Verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. He's going to rule and reign forever, and we get to be there with him. Wow. Incredible. Lord, prepare us for this. Lord, help us to prepare others for this, that we can be faithful to you, to follow in faith like Joseph and like Mary, to trust in you in the tough times, and to let you work through us to make a difference in this world to your glory. Amen.